What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, Slammy.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Mert steps up to the line of scrimmage, the 37-yard line of the Panthers, takes the snap, takes a knee, and it is over at NRG Stadium. The Houston Texans defeat Carolina 20-3 and look good doing it. Takeaways. Running the football, a dominant performance, 20-3 over the Panthers with Detroit next week to wrap up the preseason.
Yeah, it was great. You know, he's still learning, you know, a lot, being a first-time play caller. I think he handled it great. You know, he's very communicative. He loves to, you know, he wild guys up and bring juice, and I think that's a great thing for offense. I'm excited to work with him. He's a great guy, loves football, knows football. Knows why we're calling things, how to call him, when to call him. So, he's been great, and I'm very grateful to have him as an OC.
All right, there you go. That was C.J. Stroud talking about new offensive coordinator Nick Caley. You heard Mark Vandermeer on the call. It was a good day on Saturday. Good day. Nothing bad about Saturday. Got out healthy, 20-3, final score. First team offense got a touchdown drive, and who knows if C.J. had dropped it into the bucket to Nico Collins on that first drive. I just like that they got into 3rd-and-2, and that overthrow took place on 3rd-and-2.
I guess that would be the question on that one is, all right, the decision-making on that when it's 3rd-and-2. I'm all for the decision to throw the ball was good. I mean, Nico had him beat. That's a potential touchdown right there.
Yep.
So, and if not, you punt it away. But and that's the beauty of getting to 3rd-and-2 as opposed to 3rd-and-12. You have those options. But it was an inaccurate throw to Nico. Yeah. I would say consistent with a theme this camp where CJ hasn't looked as accurate
been a little
as
off.
He typically
yeah.
does. Yeah. So, whether... And people get agitated when you just point that simple fact out.
Yeah.
They'll claim that you're saying that the sky is falling. I'm just pointing it out. He hasn't been as accurate as he typically is, and maybe that's just because the offense isn't they're still installing.
Yeah, they're still work in progress. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. So we welcome you in on a Monday, 20-3. The Texans win. Not as good a weekend for the Astros. We'll get to them at 6:20 today. How you feeling, man?
I feel good.
I like these Saturday games. Got all day Sunday.
All day Sunday to not get as much done as I expected to.
Put a 2-hour show together, yeah.
It's like, oh boy, I got my whole day clear. I'm going to get so much done. And then by 11 a.m., I'm like, I think I've seen all of TikTok. Okay, good. Let's go do it.
Let's get him.
But first, a nap.
Let's get him. How you feeling about Saturday?
What's Saturday?
Saturday, the Texans beat the Panthers. They beat the
Okay, I don't know. I mean, we're kind of moving forward with the timeline here. You went from Saturday to Sunday, so yeah. I don't know if you're talking about the next preseason.
It sounded like you didn't get anything done on Sunday, so I was just jumping backwards.
I felt really good about a lot of things the offensive line did.
Yeah.
It's just a much cleaner operation. I feel good about Nick Chubb. And, you have to do remember that the Panthers were just a horrendous rush defense last year. They've made improvements theoretically, so yeah,
they
were.
Are we sure?
That's what I'm hoping they had. I'm hoping that they had because that would make me say, okay, yeah, that was a very good and promising rushing performance.
Yep.
But I did. There were the biggest thing, honestly, whether it's this week's preseason game or last week's preseason game in the run game, everybody's accounted for. There's a hat on a hat. There aren't two offensive linemen standing around wondering where all their friends went. On the screen, yeah, you had a solid front of people moving forward. They were like an Abrams tank out there, just punching a hole through the line. All of that looked very good, and I'm comparing it to last year's preseason. All I have right now is, hey, everybody's going to tell you, take it with a grain of salt, it's just the preseason. Right, I'm doing that. I'm comparing this year's offensive line and the way the offense is operating to last year in the preseason. And it's night and day in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
So I can look at Nick Chubb and actually evaluate him
mm-hmm.
because he's got good blocking in front of him. Last year, I'm trying to evaluate Dameon Pierce, and I'm like, getting blown up in the backfield.
Yeah,
I think he made the wrong read here, but truth be told, there's three offensive linemen also doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So what the hell do I know?
That one touchdown drive had a lot to like on it. And yeah, CJ missed an open Nico Collins on the first drive. I think regular season rolls around, I got confidence C.J. Stroud can make that throw. That is what it is. He eventually connected with Nico Collins for a touchdown on the second drive for the first team offense. Here's what it sounded like.
Fourth and goal at the five. Dari in the backfield. C.J. in the gun. Bunch formation right. Here's the snap. Stroud looking. Quick throw right side. Caught. Touchdown, Houston. Nico Collins. 5-yard TD pass.
Yeah, right there at the goal. I mean, it was a simple pitch and catch between C.J. Stroud and Nico Collins. D'Amico Ryan said after the game he liked what he saw from the first team offense.
Overall from this game and set out and the goal by playing the starters was just to see us go out and, you know, play real football. We haven't done that, I believe, in getting real reps in games, and it means a lot for our guys to be able to go out and be able to do that. And I just wanted to see our guys go out, play efficient, play fast, like do the things we've been coaching the guys to do, execute. And you always want to see the offense, you know, have nice drives and finish with a score, and they did that. To see CJ get out, get some live reps, see him and Nico and their connection, they're in a really good spot. Expect to see them to continue that. Just really, really proud of the offensive line again. I think this is the second week in a row now that they're just improving, they're getting better. See, we're able to run the football again. Chubb did a really nice job playing physical, running behind his pass. Just like the way just the whole team played a physical brand of football, the type of football that I expect us to play, and I'm really proud of the guys for that.
Yeah, and I think with Nick Chubb, that's what we've seen of him in his better plays in practice. In West Virginia especially, it just looked like, oh, look, when he's got good blocking in front of him, he can do something with it. And it's also, it's hard during the practices to evaluate anything with the run game, because you just can't tell sitting in the bleachers or on the sideline whether a play would have gone for 2 yards or five.
Well, you can't tell if you would break a tackle because you can't tackle.
Right. So there was one play where Chubb got five to seven yards down in the red zone, and it was a hat on a hat. Blake Fisher, something may have clicked with him, but didn't have a perfect block, but blocked his guy enough, and he had the toughest assignment on that play. Because he had a defensive end and just an inside shade technique on him. And he blocked him enough that it was Ashawn, Robinson. He got an arm tackle on Chubb. But Chubb is strong enough to bulldoze through an arm tackle for 5 to 7 yards. So, and everybody else was accounted for. Cade Stover did a good job in a lot of the run plays.
He's been doing a good job.
Yeah, yeah. So that's really exciting to see. And everything just looked the way it's supposed to look on paper. And it's not a baby step, but it doesn't promise offensive fireworks, but it's just so much better than where they were last year fundamentally.
Yeah, well, look, Nick Chubb had 5 carries for 25 yards. His long was 9 yards. So he's churning it. He's not getting pushed back. The offensive line is getting push. He's breaking tackle. He's leaning forward. I would add Woody Marks to that when he was in with the second string.
Yeah.
And D'Amico pointed that out in the postgame. Everything was moving forward.
Forward. The only negative play on that drive was -1 yards by CJ after he had 8 seconds to scramble around like a squirrel on the highway. He scrambled inside a pocket for he looked like a gerbil on a wheel.
A new experience for him.
Yeah. Well, on that play too, I appreciate what he was trying to do there, because the protection was, he had time, but everybody was covered in the end zone. Yeah. So he sometimes, you know, break out of the pocket. I think in the game, he might have just tried to make a burst for the end zone.
Yeah.
But discretion, that's why the scramble looked so weird, because he started to go to his right and he saw that there was a defensive lineman looming. I think in an actual game, he probably just tries to
put his head
go
down
for the end zone, but he discretion won out.
Yeah,
on that.
Yeah. No reason to get hurt in week 2 of the preseason. I would sum it up. The offensive part of this conversation, that the things they stunk at by the end of last year and really throughout the year, but especially at the end, like the things they got worse at as the season went on. That Kansas City game in week 16, they tried wide receiver screens. Bobby kept hitting that button all the time, and they would get negative yards. Wide receiver screens actually well blocked.
Yeah.
Running backs actually picking up blitzes, like good pass pro, and that's been 2 weeks now that we've seen that. And I would say just in general, the push we've been getting with the offensive line the first couple of games, like it's looked like a competent, well-taught, well-coached unit right now. I don't know if it's going to be a great offense, but I don't think it's going to be the Keystone Cops that we saw last season.
Right, right. And it's the The nice thing to see is that I've been saying for 6 months, hey, you can have a better offensive line without Laremy Tunsil as long as you just have an actually cohesive offensive line, as long as guys are on the same page. There's plenty of examples every single year in the NFL of teams that don't have incredibly gifted players on the offensive line but are good and solid offensive lines because they're coached well and they play well together. I also think, too, for what Nick Caley wants to run and operate and the way he wants to do business on offense, they want to play a physical, gritty style of football. Mm-hmm. Laremy Tunsil ain't that guy.
No.
He just flat out isn't. No. And it doesn't mean he's not a really good football player. He is, but that's not his style of play. So, that part of it, when you also consider the money that you're saving, if Ariante Irisarry ends up your starting left tackle, by next year, well, this year probably, but by next year, the amount of money you've saved while also having a guy that really embraces this style of football, it's completely fine.
The defense was really good. I mean, obviously, they only gave up 3 points. Poor little Bryce Young, who we're hearing is, this could be, he could get things going in a positive direction this season because he closed last year on a high note. Only 2 series, but 0 for 2 throwing the football. He had a carry for 2 yards. He got sacked. Here was what the sack sounded like.
Young gets the snap. Pocket collapsing, flushed out to the right, being chased by Will Anderson. Young spinning, Young flattened. Mario Edwards cleans it up after Anderson forced him back to the inside. A sack for this Texans defense.
Flattened. It's a great verb.
Flattened.
Yeah,
and there were like 3 holding calls that could have been called on the offensive line on that play.
Yeah.
They were
yeah.
the classic. I've got a keen eye for this stuff, Sean. You know what the officials tell you afterwards? Well, you wouldn't have made the play. Because they were kind of
like, really?
I'm like, well, how do we know that? Especially on a play like that gets extended and Bryce Young comes back in. There'll be guys getting held, just blatantly held, and the officials will actually tell you afterwards, well, you wouldn't have made the play. Because they're trying to, it's like, what? Who are you?
I feel like those
like
officials.
Nostradamus here as an official? What the hell are you talking
those
about?
Those officials should be punished.
Well,
they should be disciplined.
It's if it's not at the point of attack or whatever, they're not, they don't want flag. It makes sense theoretically.
It's the lineman equivalent of uncatchable ball, right?
Like, yeah.
Pass interference, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thanks. Yes.
You are the smart
6'11 on a Monday. All right, so there you go. So good day for the Texans. All right, we got to get into the trade the Texans made yesterday. John Mechie is on a plane to Philly at some point here. If you missed that, we'll get you the details of the trade, what it means for that wide receiver room. And, yes, we will touch upon the Astros, who somehow got outscored this weekend by run differential of
Chaz
27, and they're still a game and a half up in the
Chaz division. McCormick let us down. That's all.
Straightened some things out. He 10-pitch inning yesterday, baby. Yeah, Chaz McCormick. Chaz has pitched twice in like 4 days, so that's
it's always a good
going.
Sign.
That's how it's been going lately.
You know what? It's either a really good sign or a horrendous sign. That means you've either been up by 10 or nope.
Yeah. He pitched twice in this homestand, and somehow they're a game and a half up in the AL West. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how this is happening.
Something put a hex on the Mariners. I don't know what it could have possibly been.
Probably a good time.
CJ might have dual hexed both the Mariners and the Astros.
Probably a good time to bring that topic up, too. We'll do that. Coming up next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We'll get to the John Mechie trade here in a second. We'll get to the Astros this segment as well. We'll serve the audience what they want. Apparently, CJ Stroud wearing a Mariners hat is a trending topic still, so we'll acknowledge that. Real quick, Seth, to back up your point about Texans offense, first team offense particularly, this year in the preseason versus last year in the preseason to this point, I'll credit Texans Jacob on this. Really good follow. The day after games or after, might be the same day, he's got some really good summaries of Pro Football Focus numbers and advanced stats and things like that. Really good, very helpful. This time last year, the Texans had a 28.6% pressure rate, and Damian Pierce, who was the RB1 at the time because Mixon was hurt, was averaging 1.1 yards per carry. This preseason, Nick Chubb is averaging 5 yards per carry. Granted, it was this one game. But the pressure rate is only 11%. They there was very little pressure on CJ Stroud. Most of it, he was getting the ball out pretty quick, for sure.
That's another thing that I think that Kaylee's done a good job of, is really working the quick passing game. And you can look at that two ways. I think we really haven't seen a high-flying aerial assault downfield during training camp. And you could look at that and start to wonder, okay, do they actually have that in their bag? Or you could look at it and say, well, they want to be able to move the ball, you know, consistently downfield and set up those shot plays. We just haven't really seen a whole lot of the actual shot plays. So maybe it's maybe they're just holding a little bit in reserve. They tried to take a shot to Nico on a 3rd-and-2.
An accurate throw. We're having a different conversation.
Yeah. You know? I mean, the play, it was set up perfectly. It was exactly what you want to do. You got to 3rd-and-2, puts the defense in a bind. Really tough to, you know, it's hard to cover all the deep balls, but also stop the offense from getting a first down.
Yeah, man coverage on your best guy.
Right.
Double move.
Everything was working out the way it planned, except that CJ didn't realize that the field is only 53.5 yards wide.
That's right.
He thought he was playing on a Canadian field.
It landed on the sideline.
He said that after the game, which I had never really, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. He said that when you get in the game, it just, the field seems a little bit bigger.
Compared to practice, yeah.
So I guess it's kind of like when you go play a basketball game in a football stadium, you know, or at the national championship. It just screws up your sight lines.
I can see that. I could definitely see that.
I don't want to hear it in the regular season.
No. Yeah. Well, especially if it costs you a game. I mean, you won 20-3 in this one. And you scored a touchdown on the very next drive, thrown to the same guy. John Metchie traded to the Eagles yesterday. The Texans get tight end Harrison Bryant.
Yes.
I didn't realize this. He was a Mackey Award winner in college. He was a really good college tight end on the same team that Azeez Alshire was on at FAU. And the Eagles get John Metchie. The two teams, in one of the most odd things in a trade, the picks that got exchanged in the C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kenyon Green trade, they just gave them back to each other as part of this trade.
And this trade makes a lot of sense from the Texans' perspective. You take a position group that's jam-packed, and you know, so you send away John Metchie. And then you bring a guy into a position, the tight end group, that just had an injury with Brevin Jordan. You know, not quite sure who's going to be your third tight end. But the Eagles standpoint, it doesn't make quite as much sense because they've got a lot of wide receivers as well.
Yeah.
But so for the Texans, I think it just makes perfect sense. I'm cool with it. I'm not expecting Harrison to come in here and be the next Gronk or something. But he's a capable blocker. The Browns back in the day made him. Like a trick play QB sneak specialist.
Oh, yeah?
For a few plays.
Okay. I remember he had a big catch and run against the Texans a couple of years ago. Might have been in the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. They need a third tight end right now. Irv Smith, we should point out, had a really good game on Saturday. He did some good things. So we'll see what happens.
I'm having a hard time with Harrison Bryant's name because isn't the kind of name that sounds
two
like
first names? Man.
No. It sounds like it should be somebody. You're like, wait, Harrison Bryant. Harrison Bryant. He's a Hall of Fame baseball player, isn't he? Or something like that. It feels like, how do I know that?
No,
he's just a run blocking tight end.
He's a tight end who's maxed out at 250 yards receiving in a season. Yeah,
he's had 20 plus receptions a few times.
He has. Yeah. He's made a few plays here and there. I think ultimately, so John, we closed the book on John Metchie and the second round pick. They moved up to get him back in 2022, and then we know what happened with John Metchie. Got cancer his rookie year. Came back and never really, I mean, I don't think I'm being unfair, never really reached the point that they expected him to reach when they drafted him. We don't know how much of that had to do with his career getting off to a slow start because of his medical condition. I think ultimately, when people bring up John Metchie's name in Houston, he will be remembered for getting back on the field after suffering from cancer.
Right. And I mean, that part of it still remains a great story, whether he's with the Houston Texans or not.
He would have probably needed to be a Pro Bowler for that to not be the thing you remember him most for. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's impressive.
Yeah. And he's a classic, does everything the right way, great guy, et cetera, et cetera. But it's like, it is what it is. And we've been talking pretty pragmatically about this entire preseason that. They've at the back end of that. When you draft two wide receivers who are 100% going to make the team and who look good so far, that some of these guys are going to have to go.
And bring in Justin Watson in free agency and Braxton Berrios in free agency. The message was clear. They felt like they needed to upgrade that wide receiver.
And then Berrios can do things for you as a returner that Metchie just simply cannot.
Yep, no doubt. Even though they tried. He's been back there returning kicks at times this preseason. So I wish John Metchie the best. The Texans don't play the Eagles this year, so his interests do not intersect with our interests. How many more trades you think? I'm going to put the over-under.
Seven.
Between now and the end, between now and the end of training camp or the cutdown day, I'm going to put it at 1.5.
There's still a few positions. The running back position could get interesting because that's where also, I mean, a lot of people in the league these days are looking at running back as just, all right, there's a few guys that are really, really worth it, and then after that, it's just a commodity.
Yeah.
So we'll pick somebody up at the trade deadline, or we'll pick somebody up at the final cuts or what have you, or we'll trade
I don't think Nick's done yet.
No.
They've got guys on the roster that should be on NFL rosters that will not be on this one.
And there's linebackers, too.
Yep.
There's a good chance that one of the linebackers gets traded away.
Yes.
So I'd put it at 1.5.
1.5.
And I think they might trade for a cornerback at some point.
There you go. Okay, yeah, so it's 1.5. I might put the number 2. So you're going over? Are you going over on 1.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would, too. I think 2 or 3 trades. I think Nick's not done yet. By the way, Nick Caserio joins us tomorrow at 7:30 on the program. So
then he can tell us how many trades he's going to make.
Sure, he'll say, how many trades are you going to make? He'll say 3, of course.
Remember the one time I demanded that he trade for a cornerback?
I thought about that when I was...
And then he did, didn't he?
He picked one up, if I recall. I don't know if he traded.
I remember saying
one.
You're welcome to the fan base. I don't remember what the transaction was.
I forget what it was, too, but I seem to remember
Listen, everybody, if I had to try to count up all my wins, I wouldn't have any space for anything else up there in this noggin of mine.
That's exactly right.
And I've got a pretty big head.
It's a big noggin. So the Astros, man, they went 3-3 on this homestand. Okay, they played three against the Reds,
right? Hey,
3-3, and Seth, I don't know if you've looked.
Even keel.
They're a game and a half up in the AL West.
How could you be possibly worried after going 3-3? That's baseball. Yeah.
3-3, that's baseball.
Yeah,
I've never
what
seen
was the run differential.
I've never seen anything like this before. So the three wins were 7-6, 4-1, and 5-4 in 12 innings on a game winning fielder's choice. That's +5. Yeah. Okay. The three losses.
Yeah, let me hold that up.
14-1.
That's 13.
7-0.
Okay, almost let me do the math. 7.
Almost a perfect game. And then yesterday, 12-0, the final score.
Hold on, let me do that math. Well, the math is so easy on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had a 27. They were -27 on the
total. Yeah, for the sum total, -32 in the losses, +5 in the wins, and when they were 3-3.
Yeah.
Chaz McCormick pitched twice in a 6-game homestand,
and
they're 3-3 in this homestand. This does not bode well for health. This does not bode well for this iteration of the Astros. But Jordan's coming back soon.
Look.
I'm clutching my pearls.
The pitchers who were coming back, we knew there was going to be there's some luck and chance involved in that. I was, optimistically thinking that of Javier, of Garcia, of Arrigetti, if two of those three guys can be just themselves, like the best version of themselves when they come back, We're sitting in a standing in high cotton, whatever the hell that phrase is.
Yep.
But I did not anticipate Fromber turning into whatever the hell he's been doing.
Fromber's got senioritis.
You think he's just getting distracted?
He's got big contract year senioritis. Well, he leads the league in pitch clock violations.
Yeah.
That's a senioritis thing.
Totally.
He forgot to back up home plate when it was still a game.
Yeah.
In the game he pitched this weekend. That was the 7-0. Now look. The Astros had an infield single, and that was the entirety of their offense on I think it was on Friday when that happened. It wasn't all Fromber, but he forgot to back up home plate. That allowed another run to score. And he's got some weird comments he's making. Now, remember that comment he made?
He's starting to sound a little bit passive-aggressive.
He had that comment about how the outfield was positioned in that one game where it allowed, I forget if it was the game-winning run or a pivotal run. And then after Friday's game, he was asked about not backing up home plate. He said, I felt like I should have been back there. I 100% blame myself for that. I feel like the game should have been 2-0, but I can't control the fly balls that they hit. I can't control the throws. I can't control the other fundamental parts of baseball. But I 100% blame myself for not being back there. He was like, man, if I'm going down, y'all are coming with me. I didn't back up home plate, but guess who else couldn't do anything? The hitters, the fielders, the people that needed to throw the ball around the diamond.
My husband cannot throw and catch the ball.
Yes, he went Giselle on everybody.
He
went full Giselle. Yeah, so
he's gonna be dating some woman that teaches Pilates. Whatever the equivalent would be
of jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Fromber in his last 3 games has allowed 12 earned runs.
Okay,
got an ERA of 5.89. Which isn't, but it's not as bad. I mean, it's not the worst thing that ever happened. But it's just, it's been three straight games. In the first of those three games, there's a little bit of bad luck and weirdness. There was one bad inning, really.
Well, they've lost his last four outings.
They've lost four, yeah. But it wasn't.
The first one, he was really good. Last three, he's not been good.
That's where, like when he had that streak where the Astros had every game that he had
they
played.
Won every game it's he like, pitched okay, for 13 games.
But that's still, it was weird. It felt kind of janky. That's not the way you actually keep track of it with pitchers. It's the last three games where it's just been a mess.
It's been horrible.
And as you said, he's a pending free agent. And it just looks like all of his old worst things that we thought he'd gotten out of his system, his erratic nature at times. I don't know. It just seems in this moment when we need him most, he's disappeared.
Yep.
It's like when Batman decides to take a vacation.
That's right. He was our superhero for a while.
We've got the Framber. We've got the Grasa beacon shining up at the sky, and he's just ignoring it.
We've got that version of Superman that decided to give up his superhero powers in Superman 2.
To Mary Lois.
So he could boink Margot Kidder. What are you doing, man? You gave up bullets bouncing off of yourself for that?
It's kind of a metaphor, though, for becoming a real human is then you get to that age where you realize, okay, sex isn't all that it's cracked up to be.
Right,
I should probably stop.
Maybe this is the
best thing
I'm
going to do. I should probably stop doing really stupid things in my life for the sake of it. Yeah,
like giving up superhero powers. this is about the amount of time that I want to spend on CJ wearing a Mariners hat, I suppose. What did you think when CJ walked into the building with a Mariners hat?
My first thought was, I'm surprised that they put that on social media. And then
it could be that whoever was doing that didn't even know it was a Mariners.
No, it didn't from a distance. When I saw people saying that it was a Mariners logo, I was like, I don't know. I thought maybe it's a dollar sign or something. I mean, it's a stupid logo. We all agree on that.
Or we know that the social media people get probably comped on engagement.
Yeah.
And that was as engaging as anything was going to be with him walking into the building.
But then he got up in the post game wearing it too. So I would love to put it on the social media people, but then he stood at the podium for 12 minutes with it on. This is going to require nuance, which means everybody's going to be pissed off.
Yeah, good job.
What are you going to play CJ's?
I was going to play him talking about it, but go ahead if you want to.
No, go play that.
Okay, here's CJ when he was asked about it in the post game.
I love hats. Like, I wear hats all the time. I probably have every team, but I support, the Astros and the Dodgers because I'm from LA and love, it's kind of contradicting, but I still love the Astros, but it's all good. I understand, but. It's all about the swag, baby. I'm just kidding.
So in print, that just sounds, in print, that doesn't look good. And I think that fuels some of the people being
upset
about it.
Some of the print that I saw did say, they actually quoted
the swag.
And they put the I'm just kidding after it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
kudos
of places
to them.
I saw, yeah.
But there's a bunch of people that
they
didn't
did
put
not,
that part.
Course.
I'm all about the swag.
Yeah, of course.
This is one of those things where I wouldn't have thought anything of it because when it comes to fashion choices of young men and however they wear other teams or whatever, I just don't think about it all that much.
Yeah.
I try not to care about it. And yet there's going to be a portion of the fan base that's going to be irate about it. And this is one of those things I feel like not talking about a perfect game or not talking about a no hitter. I think it's dumb. But I'm like, at the end of the day, fine. If it gets people worked up, I'm just not going to do it. I just don't feel. So with CJ, I feel like there's a part of it where you think, you might really feel like it's genuinely no big deal. And yet, if a lot of people are going to get worked up about it, just don't do it. Personally, I'm not offended by it. But also, just moving forward, you might be like, all right, well, people are going to get worked up about it.
I think this is a fair question. Do you think CJ even knows that the Astros are in a dogfight with the Mariners right now? Do you think he follows baseball that closely?
I don't think closely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's a chance he didn't
know. I don't think he's super. I haven't ever heard him really talk.
I'm just saying, is there a chance? He may look at the standings every day for all I know. I'm just saying, in terms of all the possibilities, if we're pointing out maybe what we think is a lack of self-awareness in putting the Mariners hat on, I would say that there's a decent percentage chance he has no idea the Astros are in a dogfight with the Mariners for the division right now. Maybe he doesn't follow baseball all that close.
Right.
To that degree. I mean, the Dodgers are the team he grew up watching,
I think that's the part of it. If you find yourself angry about it, just to think of it that way, that it is, it's, if a guy's just making a fashion choice based on logos or whatever.
He's not trolling the Astro fans.
No. He definitely wasn't trolling.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing. He very specifically wasn't showing support for the Mariners or anything. That's the part.
He likes the hat.
Yeah, he just likes the hat.
Yeah.
That's where the gap is. I just genuinely don't think about it or care about it. And yet I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of everybody that does seemingly think and care about
it. I'm mad at how much time people spent on this weekend.
Yeah.
Either being emotional on one side or explaining to everybody why it was okay. Like, who cares?
This is so there's the other part of it too, where on some level, because people say, well, it's just black, it's just like it's a black thing or it's a white thing or whatever. I don't know. He wouldn't wear another NFL team's logo in.
I wouldn't think so.
Right? That would become a big deal. So we never see that.
Yeah.
So there's room for, wait a second. All right. Well, you can't just give carte blanche and say it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
If they're still making decisions based on loyalties to at least your own team, they're not just doing other teams' logos. I don't know.
Yep. And thus ends the Seattle Hatgate right here.
Does it though?
Pendergast. We'll see.
I think I was trying to figure. I think it's like 3% of people are actually genuinely angry about it. What's the text line say?
I'll check. You know what? Okay. I'll check during the break. Let's get to some headlines here coming up next. We'll circle back to the Texans in their game. We'll get to the injury news with the Astros. Actual good news on the injury front with the, well, a little bit of bad news, but I think some good news that could really help on the offensive side of things. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, let's start with the Texans. They beat the Panthers 20-3 on Saturday, preseason game. Obviously, the defense did great across all three strings of defense. They only gave up a field goal in the first half. The Texans' first-string offense drives down, gets a touchdown on the second drive, 11 plays, 60 yards. Offensive line looked good. Here was D'Amico Ryans on what he liked and what he'd like to see more of from the Texans' offensive line.
The thing that I'm seeing from the offensive line is that they're playing together. And that's the main thing. They're playing together. They're communicating well. They're picking up the pressures and stunts really well. And they're playing as one. They're resetting the line of scrimmage, the physical play that I talk about when we have a double team, like to see the offensive line actually displace the defensive line and we're able to run the ball without having negative plays. Like, I'm seeing that consistently. All right, there are not many mishaps on the offensive line. So it's just consistent play giving us a chance to have to get the play started and a chance to have productive plays, because everything starts up front. When those guys are sound in what they're doing, they're playing together, they're playing smart ball, playing with great awareness, now we have a chance to have productive plays.
Yeah, the best part about that performance and the performance when the first group of guys in last week in the first preseason game were in is it's caveman football. You're saying, me block you, hit, push hard.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's what the play is called. Me block,
me
hit,
push
hard.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a very, very simple
play. Some people call it duo or inside zone. No.
Yeah.
Me
yeah.
hit, you block CJ, hard, go.
When he comes up to the line of scrimmage, he looks at the defense and he's like, blue, push hard.
Yes.
82.
Well, they also, like split zone is a play for a lot of listeners will know it basically. It's just the play where the tight end comes across formation and very dirtily cut blocks a defensive end.
Cade Stover's good at it.
Yeah, Cade Stover's good at it. Yeah. It's hard for me because I hate that block so much. I can't believe it's still
legal. But it's
your
team, yeah.
And yeah, he's doing it effectively.
Yeah.
That's kind of like taking advantage of a tax break or something. You're like, I might philosophically disagree with the existence of this tax break.
But good on
you. Well, it's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly I'll use this tax break.
That's exactly right.
So likewise with that cut block, Cade's doing a good job of it.
Yep. So 20-3, the final score. The other bit of Texans news, we dug into it a little bit earlier, but if you're just waking up, maybe you were doing some things on a Sunday. John Mechie traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. The two teams give each other back the picks that they exchanged in the C.J. Gardner-Johnson-Kenyon Green trade. So it's as if that part of that trade never happened. The Texans in the process get Harrison Bryant, who is a sixth-year tight end. He got drafted in 2020 out of FAU. Really good college player. He's been just kind of a kind of a journeyman in the
pros. He's a utility man as a tight end, and he can do lots of things for you. He doesn't do them spectacularly well, but it's for a team that just lost Brevin Jordan. Yeah. It's a guy that's been in there, and he's been a steady
pro. He's a tight end three, probably.
Yeah. I wouldn't get all like, super excited about him or anything. There's nobody talking about him like, hey, you know what? He's probably the next Gronk. No, there's none of that.
No, he's getting plunked down into a competition.
Right.
You know, or he's competing with Irv Smith Jr. and Jakob Johnson in a way, right, if they decide to keep a sort of a hybrid guy. So that's your Texans news. The Astros, not much to dig into from over the weekend. They lose 2 out of 3 to the Orioles, and the two losses were just embarrassing. Friday, they almost get hit with a perfect game. An infield single from Urias was the only hit that they had. And then yesterday, 12-0, the final score there. Christian Javier left the game after 3 innings and 50 pitches with an illness, according to the team. So hopefully he's okay. I was nervous when he left after 3 innings, worried that, oh man, here we go.
What is this illness that's running its way through the clubhouse
Pena was sick too.
Inopportune time. Yeah.
Pena, I don't know what it is.
Is it diarrhea based?
I don't know. I don't know. Did anybody follow up to that degree to find out exactly
Not that I've seen.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Ben, Google Christian Javier diarrhea. If you can indeed spell that word.
Yeah.
I never can.
Don't let him spell it for you, Ben. Spell it yourself. It's good exercise. Injury news for the Astros. The good news, Yordan Alvarez is headed to Corpus Christi for a rehab assignment. Now, I didn't know if he'd do a rehab assignment or not. I thought he may, as soon as he could swing a bat, they'd plunk him back in. But
I don't know. I'm tired of all these minor league call-ups.
Well,
it's another minor league call-up at some point coming up. It's called up Yordan Alvarez.
Technically,
from
you're
Corpus.
Right. Yeah. So I guess what they're going to do with him is he's going to play at Corpus. He's going to DH at Corpus tomorrow. They're going to give him Wednesday off, and then he's going to play, I would assume, DH again, because that's what he's going to do for this team, Thursday and Friday.
I'm so callous and dead inside about Yordan right now.
I'm just giving the news.
No. I'm not criticizing you for it. So, finish up.
Yeah. So he's going to play Tuesday, off Wednesday, play Thursday and Friday. The hope is that he's back for the homestand next week.
Right, yeah. Sure.
Had 8 at-bats.
I'm sure he'll be here next week.
How do you feel?
Zero part of me emotionally that feels like that's going to happen.
Okay, well, let's test you on this.
But I'll be excited. It's going to be nice when it actually happens.
Once it happens.
Because I'll be that excited about
it. You refuse to get excited until it actually happens and he's wearing an Astros uniform. I got it. You know what? You're not alone, I'm sure. Jake Meyers is expected to do a rehab assignment pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you on that?
I'm cool. Yeah, okay. Awesome. Right. How many guys are we gonna injure to replace them or to offset the?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They're not even gonna have to send anybody down.
Okay.
Hey, we got Dubin back. Well, did you guys see we got Dubin back from the IL? How'd that go?
Okay, let me. Yeah.
Hey, Javier, we got Javier back from the IL.
Literally, Dubin has a 37 ERA since coming back. No, literally, I'm not being cute. He's got a 37 ERA.
And these guys go off on their rehab assignments and they're just sitting around eating Whataburger. Yeah. I don't even believe that they're actually, I don't think they're, these are the guys actually making these rehab starts.
All right, let me bounce this one off of you. Josh Hader.
Yeah.
Done for the regular season, but could be back for the postseason.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, Hader, Paredes. All these little candy canes and every other nonsense,
good
gingerbread houses, all of this. I believe in all.
Unicorns.
I believe this. Yeah, yeah, give it to me. You know, I'm having a lunch with Santa Claus next week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we set it up.
Oh.
It's in my...
Is he in Corpus?
I put it in my Filofax, so we're ready to go. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the reason, in case you're wondering, Josh Hader, they're going to give him 3 weeks rest to just, you know, they don't think it's something that's going to need surgery. They think just a little R&R. Is going to help the shoulder. And then he said this weekend he would need at least a few weeks of ramping back up, which would take us through the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
So he could be back for the play. I'll be honest with you. I would have signed up for this scenario when he got this injury last week. The day he went and got a second opinion, if someone had said, Sean, you sign this piece of paper right now, Josh Hader could be back for the postseason, I would have signed that. Not knowing what was behind door number 2.
This is why, though, the shoulder soreness, we know with the Astros, it's our long-running, awful, awful joke about how soreness or discomfort ends up being a Tommy John.
Big one,
I think this is the difference. This is why I was genuinely concerned about CJ Stroud when he was missing time during OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the Astros stuff bleeds over into the way that I feel about football. And because CJ's a, because he throws a sports ball, I felt almost like, oh crap, I've just been conditioned that shoulder soreness inevitably leads to at least a stint on the 10-day IL.
Yes.
And the stint on the 10-day IL, or he was a 15-day IL.
He was a 15, haters are 15,
ends up extending on beyond that. Yeah,
well beyond that. Well beyond 15 days. All right, so those are your headlines. Text message, new life goal, get to the point where I have so little to worry about that I can get angry about what my QB wears for hat choices.
Yeah.
That's from Brent in Baytown. You know what, Brent? I would say this. I like that people get this upset in a way. I know I just got upset that people were upset about it. This is the passion that comes with sports.
Yeah, I'm not upset that people are upset about it. Because this is the thing. Okay, sports fans, they care. They care about the logos. They care about all this stuff. They care about ultimately what is... Because let's remember, ultimately it is just sports.
Yes.
And I don't mean to diminish it in that way. But like, okay, it's not brain surgery. It's not pediatrics. It's not something like that. So yeah, we care about this stuff. We care a lot about it. And the logos and everything else, people are going to get worked up over it. It shouldn't be a surprise that people get worked up. You know, you love America, but also the flag is an emblem of America. And so, yes, the piece of fabric, et cetera, ultimately shouldn't be that big a deal. But symbols matter to people.
Ultimately, it was how long the back and forth went on between people explaining it and people getting angry. And I'm like, it outlasted its shelf life. For me, it outlasted its shelf life. All right, 7 o'clock hour coming up here. Big winners from the Texans' win over the Panthers this weekend. And when I talk big winners, I'm talking spots on the depth chart or even being part of this team moving forward. We'll do Acknowledge Me at 7:20 today. We got a lot of acknowledgments to get to as well. We'll do that coming up next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.